Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the Om Times Radio Network.
Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. A very lovely guest for you and a fascinating topic. We have afterlife expert Roberta Grimes with us today, and we are going to be demystifying death and talking about how we can communicate with our loved ones who have moved on. So it's very fascinating, which she is actually the author of two books, The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch, How Our Loved Ones Contact Us and How We Can Contact Them. So it's going to be just a great conversation. I've had the blessing of being able to speak with her before, and so I'm just so happy to have her here now on Entanglement Radio. Coming up next week, some of you guys might have been expecting the author of The Gene Keys, Richard Rudd. Unfortunately, we had to reschedule. He will be back at the beginning of October. So next week, you're going to have me, and we're going to be talking about one of my very passionate topics, something that I just really love, and we are going to be talking about conscious weight loss, and we're going to looking at it from a soul level. So often we look at it just what we can do for our bodies, but as we know with everything, we are holistic beings, so we are going to look at it from a soul level. That'll be next week. You can find me if you want to know more about me. You can go to HestiaHealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. And I am still continuing my contest. If you hashtag Entanglement Radio, or if you are not on Twitter and you go to Facebook and you say, hey, I'm a listener, I love your show, I will put your names into a hat and I will do a free intuitive reading for one lucky listener. And I've got to say, my previous listeners have been loving it. And since we are already halfway through the month, get to it. You've got a lot of opportunity to win. So this week, as I mentioned, we have afterlife expert Roberta Grimes on, and we are going to be talking about death and communication with the dead. And in her book, she says, you know, we have 100% mortality rate, and yet we don't talk about it. You know, and we are there. She goes, actually, in her book, she talks about where this research comes from, and she talks about, you know, what is holding us back, the issues that we're dealing with from having these conversations about death in mainstream consciousness. But we're going to kind of move beyond that just because we have two books I want to talk about and lots of material to get to. So let me introduce my guest. Roberta Grimes is a business attorney, novelist, and speaker based in Austin, Texas. She had an extraordinary experiences of light as a child, and in an attempt to understand her experiences, she spent decades studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from the dead and other afterlife-related evidence that eventually enabled her to assemble an in-depth understanding of who we are and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Roberta has learned so much about death in the process and the period immediately following death that in 2010, she published a brief summary of her best information in The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and her second book, The Fun of Staying in Touch. So we will talk about both those books today. So I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Roberta to the program. How you doing, Roberta?
I'm so glad to be here, Angela. Thank you for having me as your guest.
Well, I, like I said, I've interviewed you a couple of times. Each time we talked separately about your books, and you're just such a delight to talk to, and I've had so much fun. I was like, I need to have her back. So I'm happy you're here. As I mentioned a little bit in my monologue, you do talk in lengths about why we don't talk about this and where the research has come from. But I'm just going to say, because this is such a conscious community here at Om Times, we're just going to move beyond that. So let's just talk about death to begin with. And I think in order to really understand, you know, death and the dying process, we really have to kind of alter what we think about reality. And so in your book, you talk about three different things. The first one being that matter and energy, time and space are not objectively real. Why do we need to understand that in order to broaden our understanding about death and the dying process?
I don't think it's possible for us to really grasp what's going on unless we can put the reality that we see around us in perspective, because we're sort of overwhelmed with the fact that we're living in this solid, real place and having these solid, real experiences, when in fact, the dead tell us this is the illusion, where they are is real. So what I begin in the book with doing is trying to help people loosen their tie to the notion that what they see around them is real. It's not. It's all, in fact, the scientists who are honest would tell you, it's all energy. And it's energy which creates an illusion of solidity, which is quite remarkable, actually. But it's artificial, because most of reality, in fact, probably more than 95% of reality, has a different physics. It's a consciousness-based physics. And there, everything is mind-created, but it's just as solid. In order to understand how all of that could be existing in the same place, we've got to loosen our tie to the notion that what's around us is solid, because it's not.
You know, in promoting this interview, I actually put up this TED Talk, and I will look it up on the break because I can't remember the name. And he was talking about the nature of reality, and he was even saying to the degree that our perception, when we look at something, for example, we actually see things in two dimensions, and it's our brain that allows us to kind of reconstruct, or he called it a hack, kind of, to be able to see something in three dimensions. And even just that on the most basic level just kind of has, you know, it kind of has to knock you over and say, hey, the way that we perceive the world is really, you know, this through these five senses. And that is, like you said, an illusion. And I just think that that's so fascinating, just how much our brain just kind of puts things together for us to make the world make sense. And we accept that as truth.
That's right. One of the reasons we accept it as truth is that's the deal we made. We are powerful, eternal beings. Our minds never began and never will end, and are part of the source energy that brings forth the universe. But we come here as kind of a kindergarten to learn spiritual lessons. That's the reason the universe exists. And in order for us to sort of use it as a good school, we've got to buy into the illusion. So before we ever come here, we basically sign an agreement, probably not with a pen, but we make a deal that we will forget everything that happened in our lives before we were born into this lifetime, and that we'll believe this is real. That's part of the deal we make. The problem we have now, Angela, is that people are in the process of destroying the planet. And I don't mean just with pollution. I mean, we're going to blow it up. So there is, for the past at least 50 years, there's been an increasing effort on the part of upper level beings to get us to a higher level of understanding while we're here, because otherwise we will not continue to raise our consciousness by coming here. Instead, we'll wreck the school.
So you have been reading, you know, hundreds of years of accumulated information, putting together these books. Do you think that you were just talking about the higher beings in the sense of urgency? Do you feel like they're maybe trying to communicate more and more with a larger amount of people during this time?
Oh, yes. Oh, certainly that's true. It's a little hard to grasp. And because it's happening literally spirit by spirit, soul by soul, I've had the privilege, because The Fun of Dying came out in 2010, I've had the privilege of seeing it happen. And it's really amazing. When the book came out in 2010 and I began to talk about it, I would look out over a sea of blank faces. I would say things. They would sort of look quizzical. The questions were very sort of foolish, most of them. It was frustrating. But Angela, by this year, certainly by even 2013, I was different group, different day, same topic. I would be looking out over a sea of smiling faces, and the questions would be so excellent, perceptive. These people all had had their consciousness raised while we weren't paying attention. And you see that now in how many people are listening to you and listening to others who are, I mean, my podcasts have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Just because people are hungry, they understand there's a truth they need to learn. And it's everybody's spirit guide, one by one by one, of all everybody in the whole, not just the United States, but the world. They're prompting us to seek, as Jesus said, seek and you will find. They're prompting us to seek. That's why it's such an exciting time to be alive, and it's such an exciting time to be privileged to do the work that you and I do.
I absolutely agree. I want to just talk a little bit more, and then we're going to move on, just about kind of shattering our ideas of reality. And you even say that your mind is not generated by your brain, that it's actually more, your brain is more just like a receiver and a transmitter. And I think that that's an important point, because so many people identify so much with A, their bodies and their brain as their whole being. And I think that that inhibits us from kind of moving on and exploring death in the way that we need to.
That is such a wonderful point. Yeah, your brain is a two-way radio in the head of a meat robot. That's all it is. And your mind is part of eternal mind. It's nowhere near your body. If you saw the movie Avatar, you sort of get it a little better. But basically, Jake's blue body is the body you feel that you're in now, and where he is safe in some other place, but connected by mind to that body. So he thinks he's in it. The same is true with you. All our minds are together. We're infinitely safe. There's nothing that can ever harm your mind. And you're just having this strange, weird experience with an avatar on this very sort of hostile planet, trying to learn to better love and forgive. I think of it as going to the gym. Think about the fact that if you want to grow spiritually, you've got to stretch those muscles. You've got to strengthen your ability to love and forgive. And where we live usually is just perfect. It's like lounging on a spiritual couch. There's no stress. But here, there's a lot of stress. And the things that have happened in people's minds are all planned by them as opportunities for growth. Even the bad, especially the bad things. They're just muscle strengthening exercises in a sort of an infinite gym that will target a specific place where we're weak.
Well, we're going to be going to break here in a minute. We'll bring that up when we get back and talk about the 7 inhabitable layers after death. We'll be right back on Entanglement Radio.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we're back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. My author today is Roberta Grimes, and she's the author of Fun of Staying in Touch and The Fun of Dying. So, I want to talk, in your book, you describe the seven inhabitable layers after death. So I was just wondering if you're able to just briefly give us a rundown of what those are.
I think it's important to understand that since all is energy, the best way to sort of have it make sense is to think of your mind as a TV set that's tuned right now to that body on this level, which we think is lowest of reality, this material level. But in the same place are higher channels, if you will. And we know of at least seven. There may be others. And there also are sub-channels within it. This is not like stripes. It's more like a rainbow. So when you die, all that happens is your mind, that TV set, goes from channel one to channel three or four, and it picks up in the same place a whole new solid reality as easily as a TV changes channels. Now, the lowest of these, the one that's right above the material level, is what Jesus called the outer darkness, or we might call it hell, but it's not a fiery hell. It's a cold and disgusting hell populated by demons who are actually people. And everybody who's there put himself or herself there. I've never seen an exception to that. Above it is level two, which is kind of like a recovery level. It's better, but it's not bright. Three through five are what the Vikings called the Summerland, and we tend to use that term as well. They're beautiful. They're earth solid. They look like the earth, only much more perfect. No decay, infinite size, infinite things to do, much less crowded than the earth, just perfect. Above level five is level six, which is I've seen it called the causal level, the mental level, because a lot of what's in the afterlife was created by people who live there, very advanced beings. My friend who lives there, Mikey Morgan, calls it the teaching level, because those who live at that level teach not just in the afterlife levels, but also on earth. Level seven is the source level. It's sort of the vibratory center of the Godhead. And everything that exists comes from that source level. And that's it. But they're all in the same place. They're just at different higher rates of energy vibration.
So, and I don't know if you can speak to this, but are those seven levels that you talk about, are they only for souls that have incarnated as humans, or, you know, when you spoke about spirit guides or perhaps even angels, has there been any conversations about where they kind of exist within these seven levels?
Spirit guides are virtually always, in fact, I think it's a requirement. They're people who have had lives on earth, and they tend to be of our same soul group and our close eternal friends, but they're slightly higher than we are in development, so they can guide us during our lives. Angels all live, apparently, their place is level seven, but they are very active. They've never incarnated. They've never needed to. They're a different class of being. But there also are other kinds of things in the universe. The universe is a lot more complicated. And when I say universe, I really mean greater reality, including all of these other levels. It's huge, and it's much more complicated than we can imagine. But those who incarnate here also can incarnate in other dimensions and on other planets in this dimension. But usually a being will choose one planet as its primary place. And this, there's evidence this may be the hardest one, the place where you can grow the fastest, because there's the most bad stuff going on. So when you walk into some bar on another planet and say you mostly incarnate on Earth, they'll think of you as a Marine. They'll give you respect and move aside.
That's a funny way to listen. You know, somebody has described it before to me as that Earth is a vacation planet. So you could imagine like souls sitting around in Starbucks saying, "Let me tell you, you can go to this place, you forget everything, and you have the opportunity to experience, you know, anything that you could imagine." And I think that that's a little bit different twist, but ultimately saying the same thing, that, you know, the reason why souls would choose to, you know, incarnate here is because of the 3D reality and being able to manipulate that in such a way. So I want to ask you, because you mentioned briefly the level two, and you said that people had put them there. And I think that we definitely in Christianity, this idea of heaven and hell, has there ever been any proof to you that there is a hellish place, or that we are, you know, that there is this life review and they decide where you're put?
I was a very zealous Christian most of my life, and I can just tell you, I have looked very hard. Nothing that Christianity teaches as its primary dogmas is based in reality. We don't need to be redeemed. God already perfectly loves us, and there is no permanent condemnation to hell. God never judges us. I've seen no evidence, and we've all looked for it, of anybody judging us but ourselves. We go through a life review where we are asked to forgive everybody who was in our lives, and we do that easily. What? You killed all my children? No problem. Because we realize by then that none of it was real and the children are all fine. It was all an exercise for us in learning to forgive and love. And then we're asked to forgive ourselves, which is a much, much harder task. And the people who don't succeed at that are many of those who populate the very lowest level. They can't forgive themselves for something they did in life. A number of them carried out the Holocaust, for example. Apparently Hitler escaped it, but those who carried out the Holocaust could not forgive themselves for having done horrible things, just because they were told to do it.
Wow. And that's one of the things that you say often in the book is that even if you are there, there's always a team of helpers there at any moment waiting to say, you know, we're here. We're here to help you. We're here to lead you out of this place. And I think that that's very comforting.
Yes, everybody there has people trying to rescue them. And usually it's their victims who are trying to rescue them. We're saying, we forgive you. Everybody forgives you. You've got to stop. But the problem is people on the very lowest level usually cannot even perceive higher level beings. They can't see them. So one of the things that people who have just died are sometimes asked to do is to go with upper level beings into the very worst possible lowest level and to try to talk to the people there, because they seem to be able to perceive the newly dead who are still raising their vibratory rate right after they die. But soon they can't perceive them either. It's a very, very hard situation.
So as you've learned and, you know, and studied and done all of this research, how has your learning about death changed the way you live your life?
Oh my goodness, thank you. What a great question. It changes everything. And here is why it changes everything. First, fear of death is the base fear. If you have fears in your life, they are all fears of death in one way or another. So when you understand the truth about death and how wonderful the whole of reality is, you no longer fear anything. And to live your life without fear allows you to live it to the full. So that's the first thing it does. The second thing it does is to give you a real impetus to grow spiritually, because now you understand your life is eternal. It isn't just this little compartmentalized place where you could do any old thing and who cares because you're going to die. You're eternal. You cannot die. So everybody I know who has really learned the truth has cleaned, and especially I have cleaned up my act like you would not believe. I understand that my thoughts are open. Therefore, I never think an unkind thought. I understand that I'm here to love and forgive. So I really, really work on those lessons. So it changes everything in your life when you know the truth, and for the better. It makes you happy. You cannot imagine. I never had happiness until I understood these truths. And now I have joy in my life every day.
Oh, I just absolutely love that. And you're right. You say in your book, all you need is love. And you say you don't want to be cheesy, but ultimately, like you said, it is about love and forgiveness. So
that's why we're here.
Why not? Yeah, do that here instead of waiting until the afterlife to be like, oh, yeah. So having those conversations, those tough conversations with people, learning to, you know, open your heart and forgive those people that have hurt you. And I could see how that would fundamentally change your existence right here. And we don't have to wait.
No. In fact, if you wait, you'll be sad, because here is where growth happens. It's until you are a fairly advanced being, probably close to the upper part of level 5, which is near the 6th level. Until then, you keep wanting to incarnate, because here is where you can learn to love and forgive. It's a tragedy that our religions don't make that the focus, and they don't make that the focus of their teaching. Jesus does, which is why I recommend that everybody read just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the red letters. Everything that Jesus says there, pretty much, some things were added after the fact. You can pick those out. But most of what he says there is exactly what the dead are telling us. And he's had it there for 2,000 years, and we've really not paid attention.
So, because when we've got a few minutes before the break, and when we get back, I want to talk about how they communicate with us. So, when we think of ghosts on this plane, where do they fit in those seven levels?
Most ghosts seem to be people who were distracted in the process of dying, and because when we're dying, people have come to bring us to the next level. Our mom, our cat, somebody, or a group have come to escort us to the next level. It's not an automatic process any more than all you have to do is be born onto the ground and you start walking around. You're a spiritual infant. If you are distracted by the people who are mourning at your bedside and try to get their attention, you can lose your ability to perceive your rescuers. And then you become stuck, out of time, you have to be rescued from there, but it can take a long time to be rescued. And that's what most ghosts seem to be. There are spirit fragments, too. If people have had a very traumatic experience, sometimes a spirit fragment that is still in that horrible experience will remain in that spot. But any full-fledged ghost people see is usually someone who got stuck there because they were distracted at the wrong time.
And what happens in the case of suicide?
It's very variable because the question is, I mean, nobody's going to blame you, but you may well blame yourself. Some adults, children who kill themselves seem never to have a problem. The old seem never to have a problem. People who are sick seem never to have a problem. But people who kill themselves because they didn't want to face some... Remember, we planned all this stuff into our lives, but then we get there, we just as soon not go through that, so we just kill ourselves. They really have trouble forgiving themselves, and so some of them can't. Suicide is a terrible risk, and there's no reason for it. You're going to get there soon enough, and the better you do with that lesson you don't want to take, the higher your vibratory rate will be when you get there, so it's all good news. You don't have to kill yourself.
And at the same time, as we mentioned, you still have people trying to rescue you out of that as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's no such thing as permanent damnation. There's no such thing as anyone being abandoned. Everybody is infinitely loved. But if you put yourself there, it's very hard for you to get back out again.
All right. Well, when we get back, I want to talk about how we can better communicate with the dead and how they communicate with us with Roberta Grimes here on Entanglement Radio.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
September 23rd, September 23rd, September 23rd. Mark that down on your calendar. Put it in your phone. Whatever you do, circle that date. 9 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. Yes, it is the return of the Joe Show. We will come back live with season 9. Wow, 9 seasons. I can only think of 4. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Salt, pepper, oregano, and thyme. No. Anyways, we don't have that much time. We're going to be back live September 23rd. Don't forget. At 9 p.m. Eastern here on Om Times Radio.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Roberta Grimes, and we just spent the first half an hour talking about the subject of her book, The Fun of Dying, and now we are moving on to her next book, The Fun of Staying in Touch. I want to ask you, Roberta, have you ever had any people take up issue with this idea, using the word fun, like you're making light of something that they see so serious.
The only people who have given me grief about it have been people who were dying of cancer. Not even people who've had loved ones die that way, but the people who were dying of cancer said, that's not fun, that's not fun. And I have to agree, they're right. One woman said, you should have called it the fun of being dead. And I said, it doesn't have the same ring somehow. But once we get to our deathbed, the fun starts. And so that's what, you know, I've told the people, and it's only been three or four who've told me at conferences or speaking engagements that they didn't appreciate my use of the word fun. I've said, it's the word the dead use. It's the single most variance of the word fun is one of the most common things the dead tell us about their lives now. So I want people to understand that. Death has gotten an undeservedly bad rap in our society because actually it's the best time of your life if you lived properly. It's the best.
Well, in your book, The Fun of Staying in Touch, you say something really interesting, that the dead are much more aware of us than we are of them. Can you explain that?
Remember what we said about how the energy layers are set up. You can go higher to the point where higher than the earth vibratory level, to the point where your spiritual development suits you. But you can't go higher than that. So if you've worked hard and you've got your muscles going and you're at level four being, you can get to level four. You can't go higher. It's unbearable to do that. But you easily can go lower. So you and I can't go to those higher levels. We're stuck with these bodies. We're firmly attached to them during our lifetimes here. But our dead, even if they're a level six being, they can come right down and be right with us. It's easy to lower their vibratory rate. They just can't go higher.
And so why is it so difficult then for us to communicate with our loved ones after they've passed?
Because they're on a different signal, a different energy level. Even if they've lowered their vibratory rate, they're still, it's sort of, if you think of TV again, it's as if your channel 2 newsman and your channel 5 newsman were trying to communicate with one another live on air, and they don't have cell phones. They're right there on your TV, like a fraction of an inch away. They're very close in terms of what their signal is, but they're not on the same signal. And that's the problem. It's almost impossible. It should be impossible, really, for them to communicate with us. But fortunately, because they're so aware of us, and because we have for many centuries, really for millennia, had people who wanted to help their loved ones survive their deaths and wanted to give signs of their survival, they figured out how to do it. All of the research in this area, the really good researchers, are all dead people because they have a much better perspective on what's going on. But even in prehistoric times, I mean, Cro-Magnons, I'm sure, were the ones who first figured out how to create apports and make them appear, make the big pebbles make feathers appear. Nowadays, it's pennies they make appear, but they still are using feathers. I'm sure that's something they've used for thousands and thousands of years.
So if we, and maybe this is the wrong way to think of it, because maybe this is a 3D five sense way of looking at things. If we could see those other vibratory levels, if we had, you know, even broader spectrum of perceptions, could we just see them hanging out in our room like we, you know, in movies they show up as apparitions in front of you? Or is it more just a knowing? Do they want to show themselves? I don't know if that makes sense, but especially, like I said, in the movies, you see them like maybe sitting on the chair. So if we had broadened perception, would they just be sitting there in a chair, or is it more of a like a heart-to-heart feeling?
They can appear to be physical. Visions of the dead are very, very common. They're much more common than near-death experiences. People don't talk about them because they're precious, and they don't want anyone to ridicule them for the fact that they've had a vision. But more than half of widows and widowers see a vision of the departed spouse within the first year after death. Believe it or not, it's very common. My mother saw my dad. It's common for people who have just died to appear at the bedside of someone. Usually it's during the night for some reason they do this, but they appear at someone's bedside and there they are smiling, happy and healthy. Thomas Jefferson appeared at John Adams' bedside. They died on the same day, 50 years to the day after the Declaration was signed. And there was Adams in the afternoon, moribund, almost dead. And he suddenly stirred and said, Thomas Jefferson still survives. Why would he have done that? Jefferson had died in the morning in Virginia, and on his way out, he just stopped and gave a little smile to his friend John Adams.
Mm-hmm. A little shout out. From
Yes, that's what they do. People often will say, and that's sometimes how people know someone has died. They'll know someone, a grandpa or somebody is very ill in another state perhaps, and then they'll wake up and they'll see him standing at the foot of the bed looking fine. And that's when they realize he's died and he's okay.
Is that what when the dead do, you know, appear to us, is that mostly what they're trying to convey to us, that they're okay?
Yes, yes, yes. 99% of it is, I'm okay, therefore you're okay. You don't have to worry about anything. I'll see you again. Now I'm going to go have fun. That's what most of it is.
That's so comforting.
Yes, it really is.
So how, other than, you know, maybe showing up, what are some of the other physical signs of contact that the dead like to use?
The first one people often will perceive is a scent. Scents usually happen only in the first year, and they happen in our minds. They don't happen in the air, in the area, you know, air around us. But you'll smell grandma's cooking or somebody's perfume or someone's cigarette smoke or pipe smoke, some distinctive scent that you associate with the person who has died. That's a hug from that person. Whenever you get any kind of sign, or even maybe it's a sign, always, always say, thank you, please do it again. Never just sort of acknowledge in your mind, okay, that must be from grandma. Thank you, do it again, because then they're likely to keep doing it. If they think you're not perceiving them and really recognizing the signs, they won't keep it up. And so right after deaths is when you should be most looking for signs and most eager to validate them.
And so you had mentioned about coins and about feathers. Can you tell us another interesting story that you've heard of some very physical manifestations of contact?
The things that they do include, I should just finish answering your other question. They also will play with electricity, change TV channels, turn the TV on and off, flicker the lights. Those are very common signs. Producing a familiar song on the radio is a very common sign, believe it or not. And some become expert at doing it. Insect signs, always butterflies and dragonflies, for two reasons. Number one, because they're spectacular, but also because both butterflies and dragonflies go through a nymph phase and then turn into something beautiful. And so they're a sign of what really is happening. We are right now, we're the caterpillars right now, but we're going to become the beautiful butterfly or dragonfly. My mother did something spectacular 2 weeks after her death. She made a pier in my backyard. We're talking August in Texas. It was hot. I shouldn't have seen an insect anywhere, but my backyard filled with thousands of dragonflies, and they flitted around all afternoon. Nowhere else in the neighborhood, I checked, were there any, but they were all in my backyard. So I just said, yeah, I looked at them, I watched them, couldn't believe they were there, said, thank you, Mom. The next day, it was all butterflies. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds all afternoon, coming and going, beautiful, all kinds of butterflies, some kinds I'd never seen before. I was overwhelmed. I was chasing birds because for some reason they really went after the butterflies, but it was amazing. The third day, it was dragonflies again. I have never heard of this kind of a sign. I mean, it's common for there to be dragonflies influenced by the mind of a dead person. Maybe they fill the backyard during a cookout or something. But 3 days in a row like this in the heat, 100 plus degree heat, was amazing. The fourth day, I went out on my deck wondering what she was going to do next, because, Mom, this is fun. And a butterfly and a dragonfly flew together in formation right in front of my face. And I never saw another insect in my whole backyard that entire rest of the summer.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful. And, you know, just I like that you said to just say thank you. Do it again, because it's just a little – a little shout out to them too, I guess.
They tell us to say it aloud because you could say it in your mind and they'll perceive it probably, but they say it gives them energy if you say it aloud. So say it aloud. It doesn't matter if people look at you funny. When you find that penny, pick it up, say thank you, and keep going.
So why does it seem that most contact has to happen within the first year after death?
Because it seems to be universal. It's like part of the process. They get there, they've arrived safely, they send back postcards to say they've arrived safely. Now, if you acknowledge what they're doing, then you're creating fun for them, and they'll keep doing it. If you don't acknowledge anything, then for sure it will not go past the first year. But I know people who, because they've kept acknowledging, for example, that a certain song keeps playing, 5-10 years later, they're still getting signs. I had some spectacular signs from my brother-in-law with flickering lights and playing with electricity, and he had been dead for 10 years. So as long as they know we're going to see it, it's worth their while to do it. But it's not easy for them to do these things. And if we're not acknowledging them, they won't keep doing them.
Well, you know when people say, obviously, to bereaved loved ones, as soon as you think about them, they'll come to you. Do you believe there's some truth in that?
I believe that they're, no, I mean, it's so different. People don't change fundamentally when they die. They're the same people they always were. And they're not all sitting on the edge of a cloud, swinging their feet and waiting for us to call to them. They're immersed in very busy lives. So if they think that you're okay and they're already involved in their life there, they may not come to you. If you have been careful to acknowledge what might be a sign right from the funeral and continue the relationship, then yes, you've kept that communication line open and they may well come to you.
You know, and I think about in times like this, and I think, you know, especially big holidays like birthdays and Christmases and all those, which of course for us here on this plane are some of the hardest times because it was those family things. So I wonder if they do come then. Anyway, we'll have to explore that. When we get back, we've talked how they contact us. Now let's talk about how we can contact them. So we'll have and continue this conversation with Roberta Grimes on Entanglement Radio when we return.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting to your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and help you realize the innate potential you have to heal every aspect of your life. So come heal yourself every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, with your host, Monica Goyal. Namaste.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
We are back here in the last segment, which is brought to you by Hestia Health, creating calm minds, open hearts, and inspired lives. This is where we like to bring it on home for our listeners. Right before we get there, though, I want to just talk, because last before the break, we talked about how the dead communicate with us. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how we can communicate to the dead. So often after people have passed and they're desperate to want to have those conversations and have that, I guess, that confirmation that there is something else for their loved one, they will enlist a psychic. How do you feel about that?
Well, I used to. I tested a lot of them about 15 years ago and had terrible results, so I didn't believe in them. And it really is only this year that I have come to know a really good psychic or spiritual medium, and her name is Suzanne Wilson. I'm happy to give her a plug. She's done extraordinary work that I have seen for a lot of people, not just me. And I've come to know there are others too. But this is an area where gifts are very variable. So if someone is interested in contacting a loved one who has just temporarily gone around the corner, the easiest way to do it is by finding a very good psychic or spiritual medium and using, but get references, make sure it's someone, or go to there are several sites now which vet these people or test them. And you can, Winbridge used to do it, but I don't think they do it now. Yes, that you absolutely can talk with your dead loved ones through an excellent medium, but there are many who are not excellent.
Yes, I can say that that's true. You know, something that I've realized about myself recently, and last time we interviewed, I told you how I use automatic writing quite a bit, and that's something that I've been doing ever since I was a kid, even though I didn't at first realize quite what I was doing. And what I've realized is that I am quite good at channeling things, but that's not necessarily, I can't necessarily pinpoint, okay, this is the person I want to talk to. I kind of just, when I do readings for people, I just say, is there a member of their spiritual team that wants to show up today and give me guidance in their highest good and the highest good of humanity? I always say that. And but I don't know that I could pinpoint. And I was just wondering, in your research, have you found that there are some people, mediums who are better at communicating the dead or in whatever vibratory level they are? And have you found that there are some that are better at, you know, communicating with the angelic realms or people's spirit guides?
There actually are two. Those are two different questions in terms of angels and spirit guides. Spirit guides are, in fact, this afternoon I'm going to be communicating with mine. I have finally, after 60, almost 70 years, decided it's important I kind of get to know them. And so Suzanne's helping me do that. Yes, there are, all they do is basically call to them, you know, the spirit guides of a given person, and those spirit guides will show right up. They tend not to break into your lives, although my primary guide broke into my life in January because he wanted me to write a book, and I've written the book. But, as far as your relatives and your loved ones are concerned, what usually happens in my experience is that the best ones will basically put out a call. One of the things we learn about the afterlife is that people who are there, it's almost like you're carrying a billboard in your head. If there's anyone who is near you who has died, you're going to immediately know about it. If Elvis is performing and you had put out the call, you wanted to hear early Elvis, you'll get that. You'll find out where to go. I mean, all these sort of things that you might want to be part of. If you just put out a call, it'll appear in your mind like it's literally a billboard or a chalkboard in your mind. So yes, good ones are able to communicate with anyone who wants to communicate with you, but sometimes they don't. My father would not communicate for 20 years, even though we tried hard. And he would show up sometimes, but he just wouldn't say anything. It took 20 years for him to get up the nerve to say what he had to say, which was, I'm sorry. So it's so individual, Angela. Everybody is in a different situation, and their relationships with the people who have gone before them are so unique. It's so hard to say.
Well, in your book, I want to ask you, so other than maybe thinking of that, is there anything that my listener is doing this without going to see a psychic or, you know, going outside for help? Is there things that they can do in their life that allow them to be more connected and be able to maybe do some of this work on their own?
What I learned to do long ago was to hold an intention in my mind to get an answer to a question. It works especially well with my writing, but this is something you need to hone like you hone anything else. So you'd ask a question, and then you'd go to sleep, and then you pay attention to the first thoughts in your mind when you wake up, and very often it will be an answer to your question. It may not be the answer you wanted, but it'll be an answer. And the reason this works so well is that when we are asleep, our bodies are sleeping, but our minds are still alive and awake and don't need to sleep. So they will go and meet with our dead loved ones. They will meet with our spirit guides. They take classes during the night. And so there's a lot going on. And if you have a question that it is felt that you need the answer to or should get the answer to, that's once you're used to doing it and you're persistent at it, I have found that to be a very efficient way to get answers from your guides and sometimes from your loved ones.
Yes, I would have to completely agree with that. And, you know, I can tell the difference when I'm dreaming, when it is just a dream and perhaps that loved person, you know, is just loved one is just kind of in the dream. And then there's a different feel to it when they actually come to me and want to convey information. And there is a much deeper kind of face-to-face, a much deeper connection where they're coming and wanting to convey information. And usually that's what happens, like you said, when I set that intention. Is there something that I need to know, or can we have a conversation about this?
It works well. And it's until February of this year, it was the only way I ever communicated with my guides. And I get through life just fine. So it'll work for anyone who tries it.
What about people that think, you know, I'll just maybe use a Ouija board? How do you feel about that?
I don't believe in Ouija boards because they have had some bad outcomes for people. They're not a toy. They're a serious way that we call to spirits. And there are some very bad spirits out of body. Some of the worst beings, anyone who's executed, almost never will they go where we would like them to go, but instead they become free negative entities in the world. They don't have a lot of power, but they can do a lot of mischief. There have been houses that had to be abandoned because families using Ouija boards had called in the wrong folks. Automatic writing should work that way, but Angela, I don't think it does. We haven't seen the same kind of negative situation with automatic writing as we have seen with Ouija boards.
And again, I would, as somebody who has used both, I would absolutely 100% agree with what you just said. I find that automatic writing is it's a fantastic tool to speak to guides, to your highest self, if you're working through, and like you said, asking a question and then just allowing yourself in a very calm, conscious place to just continue to write. And to me, it's a fully different feel from, as you mentioned, from the Ouija board. There was just a lot of negative, yucky stuff hanging around that.
So it's a good term, yes.
So, we just have a few minutes left. So I want to give you the opportunity to share with my listeners where they can find your books and if you've got any upcoming events, any of the stuff you'd like to leave my listeners with today.
My website is robertagrimes.com. I also podcast weekly on webtalkradio.net about all these topics. And I usually have guests, some of them very famous in this field. I've had so much fun with this. My archive is available on iTunes, of course, for free. And just look for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My books also include novels, and you can find those at robertagrimes.com. And I have a book coming out October 1st called Liberating Jesus, which is a channeled work. I never would have written it on my own, but I was called in to write it. And we're quite excited about it. It's quite revolutionary. Again, it's called Liberating Jesus. And that's the state of my affairs at the moment.
That's fantastic. That's one thing I just want to say too, is when you get those little nudges, you know, heed the call, follow through, because I know exactly with a lot of my writing as well, I get this little thing, okay, you need to write. And then it just gets, it keeps going and going and going. And then it's amazing when you're like, okay, I'm here and I'm with you. And
Angela, this wasn't a nudge. My primary spirit guide broke into my life, announced that in his next to last lifetime, he had been Thomas Jefferson, and who we know was very, very, very much into Jesus and against Christianity for Jesus. And he insisted that I write a book that he had written as Thomas Jefferson, but that had never been published. So, okay, I started to write it. And after a couple of weeks of our doing that, he announced to my medium friend that Jesus was taking over. And so I ended up channeling a book from Jesus. And I don't want to even say this because this is against everything I've ever done in my life. I'm just a serious researcher. I'm an attorney, for heaven's sake. But they told me I had to say where it came from, and so I'm saying where it came from.
Well, I'll have to have you back on when that comes out. I'm looking forward to it. I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. It's always a delight.
Thank you, Angela. This has been fun.
All right. Again, that was Roberta Grimes. Coming up next week, it's me. We're going to be talking about conscious weight loss, but we're going to be taking a soul level look and talk about soul contracts and life lessons and all of the stuff that's intimately related with that. So, and I've got a really exciting project coming up that I want to share with you as well. So that'll be next week. Coming up next is Equilibrium FM with Claire Johnston, and she's going to be talking about beautiful magic with special guest Mark Golding. And if you want to get a hold of me at any time during the week, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter. And don't forget to join the hashtag Entanglement Radio contest to win a free intuitive reading with me. Or you can go to my Facebook page and say, hey, I'm a listener. And I announce those winners first Wednesday of every month. This is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I'll see you next week.